Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. We are excited about today's episode. It's our first ever Q&A session and is with Balls Mueller. We want to thank those of you that submitted questions, either Instagram or via DMs. Thanks a lot. You made this episode fun. Now, if you haven't had the opportunity to listen to last week's episode, I would give it a go even before listening to this one because it was our introduction episode with Balls. So super fun. We recorded this episode in the heart of winter and we talked about what it takes to be a winter waterman. We talked about winter suits, gloves, and what it takes to be stoked when it's cold. We also talked about Balls' new little one that they're expecting soon. So I hope you enjoy that episode. Now, don't forget if you want to support our show, there's multiple ways to do so. The easiest way is to follow us on Instagram, comment, like, follow us on YouTube, and on your favorite podcast provider like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you feel like it, give us a 5-star review. That helps our show grow. If you want to help out in the day-to-day, visit winglifepodcast.com and click on Support Us to donate a few dollars or jump on a monthly subscription. So we appreciate your support, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to the Wing Life Podcast, where we talk about wing foiling and the lifestyles of those who enjoy this great sport.
All right, everybody, take two, Balls. We're going to do a special Q&A session right now because I got to say, that video you sent us over, that was pretty cool. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Well, I hope I can answer your questions.
All right, so we're going to go over here on Instagram, and we have, our first one is from Munariv. That was 4 days ago. They asked, what glove brand and thickness are you using for winging? Always the main problem between cold grips and cramps. We talked a little bit about this last time, but you're welcome to give a short little answer if you want.
Well, I think at the moment there's many brands selling these open palm mittens, and these open palm mittens, these are the best or most efficient wing gloves, but when it gets below zero, it's freezing cold in these, and that's probably the case and the biggest problem. And I started combining these open palm gloves with like thin wetsuit or even just thin worker gloves, so that kind of
good idea.
Yeah, and these thin worker gloves, they keep your hand dry, let's say. And at the same time, the open palm is like blocking the wind. So I'm combining gloves now like this. And my all-time favorite is like the closed mittens pre-curved from Dakine, which I guess is not produced anymore at the moment. But if you get your hands on one of these, you're definitely just keep them.
All right. Question number two from Annie and then underscore QSNY. We got, is it Swiss chocolate or Swiss cheese? And which gives you superpowers?
Superpowers. You know, Ovomaltine is definitely the best thing ever. This chocolate is magic. If you eat a chocolate Ovomaltine bar, it's like you eat dynamite. You explode. You eat one bite and you get out there and you can sail all day. So imagine you do like an Ovomaltine fondue. So you're doing a chocolate fondue.
Annie, I hope you're listening to this.
I love chocolate. And I mean, I do eat way too much chocolate, but I guess that's normal. As a Swiss, you got to. I mean, we don't have the coconut, so we...
you gotta take in the cacao.
No, Ovomaltine is really good. And cheese, I mean...
Is that one your favorite?
Yeah, I eat cheese almost every day as well. And there's like so much good Swiss cheese. Especially also like some stronger, like hard Alp cheese is like phenomenal. Sprints.
Do you have a lot of raw, like unpasteurized, farm fresh kind of cheese places there?
It does, yeah. In the Alps, in the valleys, okay. You can buy this stuff sometimes off the farmer, and then definitely someone knows someone who's a farmer who has the chance to to sell you the cheese like under the table. That's kind of how it works probably in the Swiss mountains.
Teddy Bear asked, how is he so awesome? So that's a hard question to answer, but
I just enjoy my life to the fullest. I go out there every day, wake up in the morning and have a great time and share the stoke with people and dream about surfing, surf all day. Yeah, that's kind of the
awesome.
Way I'm there's rarely a morning I get up and I feel like, what should I do today? There's always something you can do out there. Just go out there and have fun and don't stick to your four walls, which gonna in the end like squeeze you into the corner. So go out there under the blue big white sky.
Vincent.windsurf said, best wing spot other than your home spot.
The home spot is always the best place. It's like the story that at night you're landing all your tricks. I mean, my place at night is like the best place ever. There are even waves barreling at my place at night, but no one has seen it before. It's not existing. The dream place.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Honestly, got me there. I think the best dream place is the one you create in your mind. And like this mind game of surfing in that dream place location definitely helps you progressing also at your real dream place. And as he mentioned very nice, you don't need to travel too far. Often like the good is just outside your doorstep and just appreciate also what you got back home.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, that's a good point. Wing foil gear for speed versus freestyle. Another question from Vincent. Which do you prefer?
You know, speed is a hard thing. Speed is the coolest thing in water sport because you can challenge yourself anytime and everywhere on your own. You put the watch on and you challenge yourself. You tune your gear or whatever. I've been actually on my own. I took like, imagine we have the wing and the wing has like this really fat, thick leading edge. And I took pool noodles, like those swimming noodles, and I duct taped them onto the leading edge. Then I took an old wing and I kind of, with the old wing, I closed the profile like a real wing. And I did this 2 years ago and I was so freaking fast on that wing because it had a proper serious profile. So it looked like a real foil. So and that kind of way, I was really fast and it felt effortless. And now you're seeing on the market a few brands now coming up with these full profile wings. But the case is, if you drop in the water, it gets heavy as it fills the profile with water. And then it's just not easy. And for me, it always needs to be easy. And that's why nothing beats freestyle, because freestyle or freeride, I would call it freeriding. Freeride, that's what it's all about, because it's going out there. You can measure yourself the speed or whatever, but it needs to be simple, and wing foiling is a simple sport. And the more complicated we make it, probably it's going to lose a bit of its charm. So freestyle for sure, always. And if you're into speed, you might need to get creative and start making your wing, tune your wing with duct tape.
That's a good point, actually. All right. So Toto Swiss, so T-O-T-O Swiss, asks his thoughts on paddle downwind on lakes. So downwind paddling, your thoughts on
that? Yeah. Toto, he was following me kite foiling the other day. So I'm kind of surprised that he's asking it. He should just try it on his own, you know. We're trying to convince him as well. Eventually, one day, he's going to try a downwinder, or he's already trying. But the case is also kite foiling can be fun on the lake. So if you're happy doing it, it's fine. But hey, honestly, I think in Switzerland, we have some really good world-class downwinding, because the ocean waves are sometimes too big for downwinding. And these small little lake rollers, they're so close next to each other that it just goes on its own. So give it a go. You're going to try it.
What foil are you using for downwinding? That's your favorite.
You can make your life easy starting with a bigger foil. But the case is, it's really hard to find a foil that's matching the speed of the waves.
This episode is brought to you by Saladita Kite School in La Ventana, Mexico. If you caught some of our stories yesterday on Instagram, you'll have seen that I just got in a couple epic days of downwinding. We got a 10-kilometer downwinder done with my buddy Mickey from Salt Spring Island. Today, I got in an epic one with my friend Britt. We went from La Tuna all the way to the beach and back. Heck of a fun time. If you're looking to learn, there's nothing better than getting a lesson from the pros at Saladita Kite School. They are positioned at La Tuna, and now that I've been here a little while, I've gotten the opportunity to visit to a couple different spots. It is one of the more beginner-friendly beaches with some nice sand, so you're not walking on any rocks. They do offer professional jet ski-assisted kite and wing foil lessons. So once again, they're at La Tuna, so if you want to grab a beer after, grab some ice cream, grab anything, it is a nice little hub there, so you're not just stuck kind of in the middle of nowhere. So they have you covered if you want to learn to kite, foil, or looking into downwinding. They got top quality gear as well. So don't hesitate. Book your lessons today by visiting saladitalaventana.com or send them a message on Instagram at Saladita Kite School. At Saladita Kite School.
And on the lake, you can definitely go on small, on bigger foils because the top is small and it goes quite slow and in one direction. So just don't think that you're going to be, it's like in wing foiling as well. Don't think you're going to be a pro and then just cook yourself with way too small equipment and then you struggle just 1 or 2 months longer instead of having fun on a big, big, easy foil and progress on that one. And even me, sometimes I do run on a 1,900 square cm foil, so a huge foil, and I carve the shit out of the lake and then my goal is not to go as fast as possible, but to surf as much as possible, like lake surfing. Cool lake surfing.
Yeah, that's super fun.
Surfandclimb.de said, 310 days on the water in 23. How do you manage? We talked a little bit about this, but how do you manage family life, marriage, and with such an intense career?
Well, I guess my wife would be also, or even more days on the water than me, because she's also very passionate. So it's definitely always the fight who goes first on the water, but she's sharing most of the sessions. And definitely with the child, we had to adapt. But often we're eating dinner at the lake, so one of us can sail until sunset. So that's, we adapt all our lives into water sports, and we're doing it together, so we're sharing the same stoke. Unless it gets below 0 degrees, then she's not doing it for the numbers. So do I. I'm not going out there just to have the numbers, you know, doing 300 days a year. I mean, it doesn't matter how many days you do, it just matters the quality of these days. And I mean each day, even a gray rainy day, I'm going to enjoy as much as I can.
That's good. So now we have Stamp Pro 393 _ coaching. Are you going to visit Naxos, N-A-X-O-S Island, next summer? Yeah. Where is that?
Naxos is in Greece, in the Aegean.
Oh.
It's beautiful. The food is so good. It's affordable as well. And the wind is really good. I've been very lucky growing into a family which is very passionate for traveling, and we never had like big budget, but we always traveled to the sea, like anytime, any possibility, we've been at the sea, and we've been spending, like the three brothers and the parents, we've been spending a lot of time in Naxos when I was a child. And this lagoon there is perfect for progressing, especially at a young age, because you can stand in the shallow lagoon. You can also foil in the lagoon. So I wish to get back there again as soon as possible, hopefully. But let's see. I don't know where I'm going next season. I hope to see you all.
All right. Next one we have Laurent _ N-I-L-S, N-I-L-S, sorry. And then where is Wing Ding headed? Downwind was the newest thing for 2023. And then she has a, I think it's a she, and then she has a secondary question, or maybe it's a guy. How many boards do you have? So I guess we'll start off with, where do you think Wing Ding is headed for 2024?
The crazy thing about, like, some people say, oh, there goes the winger when he starts downwinding. And it's true. A few of my friends, they're fully into downwinding now, but they still really like wing foiling at the same time. And maybe we can even combine it, you know, going upwind with the wing and then downwind with the sub. I've been doing quite a few wing upwinders, downwinders, where I pack the wing in the backpack. But it's a challenge. It's, if you want to challenge yourself and go out there and have an adventure, do an upwinder with the wing. I personally always like strap with Velcro my paddle to the strut, and then I undo it at the top, pack the wing, and then I go down. It's cool. I don't know where this is going. It's definitely, you know, the cool thing about foiling or general surfing, the legs are so wide and big and open surface that it splits. There's enough space for anybody and everybody to surf out there on the lakes, compared to the shoreline where like people sit on each other. And I don't want to be the guy in the lineup with the foil where there's like 10 people sitting around, and downwinding gets you out there, surf the longest waves of your life, 18K or even longer, one ride. I love it. It's beautiful. It's definitely not the same like getting barrel, but the sensation of carving down a wind swell is beautiful.
That's true, actually. Yeah, there is a lot less competition in this because we're kind of more out in the open. Question number two from him, how many boards do you own?
A few. No, <Yeah. laughs> I have too many boards. But you can only surf one board at once, so it's useless to have multiple boards. But I got to add as well, in our surf club, I'm sharing most of my boards. If someone wants to try it, it's there. And I'm having a few boards, like my 57. That's my one to go. That's my girlfriend. My wife is jealous because I almost spend more time with that board than with her. No, but it's... But I try to have not too much equipment, but there's definitely a quiver of like six boards which been regularly used, and that's insane. I mean, we should, yeah, honor to do this board.
Okay, all right. We got Cyril Maye Insta. So, do you snowboard with wing?
We did snowboard with the wing since the very beginning. I mean, I've done a few. When I started wing foiling not that long ago, which feels like 4 or 5 years ago, we straight took it onto the snow and also onto the skateboard. And for progressing, snow winging can be good. You can learn the type, how to change the hands. So yes, it's insane. You're probably going to like it. But you're not going to go when you expect it to be perfect in like deep powder snow, because it's very physical. Best is to have like old, fast, icy snow, and then you're just gonna cruise with the breeze, and it's nice. And then the other thing is I jumped off this cliff. I remember one of the first days snow foiling, and I shoot like straight out, and I was about like 5-6 meters in the air, and I didn't know what to do. And then like when the wing starts like front stalling, you're dead. So it's crazy where this could go. But it's not a paraglide, and once in the air, that's what I'm always saying, once in the air on the water surface, nothing will ever, or like almost nothing happens. But if you're in the air, in the real air, out up there, and something goes wrong, it's not going to be fun anymore. So watch out, kid.
Good to note. All right, the next one from Bjorn, LAUSCHKE, Instagram. Lake versus ocean wing foiling. And then i.e. adjustment of technique and material to light wind and gusty conditions, usage of higher aspect wings to glide through lulls.
Yeah, well, it's okay, a really good interesting question. Point. And what's very interesting about it is the density of the water. There's a difference, not a huge difference, but still 2 point something that makes a difference. And I remember I always felt it when being in the holidays and then coming back home. So at the sea, you theoretically can ride a smaller foil than here on the freshwater lakes. But then it also depends if it's colder water, warmer water. So definitely it makes a huge difference. And it's fun that he thinks about higher aspect to glide. That's definitely one way to look at it. But my opinion, that's what I always share with the world is just go on a bigger foil, especially in fresh water. And don't think that we need these like super tiny front wings yet. Probably with better profiles and efficiency, we can ride those super small blades. But right now, just take in consideration that fresh water needs a little bit more. Otherwise, you're going to be here in Silva Plana at the lake and you're just not going to get going.
Yeah.
And you're like back home on the fresh, on the salty sea, you're flying in like 12 knots. Here it's different. Yeah, that's true. Also, the density of the air makes a difference. But yeah, it's a cool point.
So bigger foil, bigger wing, that completely makes sense. And our social media guru, Frank Bingle, asks, where do you see yourself and the wing sport in 10 years?
Where will the wing foil sport go? I hope to be still shredding as hard as right now. And if it's going to be less shredding, definitely still sharing the stoke of water sport. It always been my dream to become a waterman, live from water sport, for water sport, live it the fullest. And I'm definitely still going to be out there at the place probably as soon as the sun gets up and ride all day. That would be my dream. Like just recently, my birthday, I've been on the water almost all day. That's what I love doing. Definitely gonna rather, instead of competing, I'm probably gonna turn. I love sharing my experience and I love to see the progress, especially of younger kids. So I love to, if I can be the person that kicks someone in the ass that he tries a backflip, for me that's very fulfilling. So am I gonna do that more as well in the future, and definitely try to produce good gear that's providing fun to all of us. And I'm not sure what's going to be in 10 years. I'm a little afraid that we're going to hover over the water with drones. It's going to be very technical, like something crazy for sure.
Yeah.
But if you ask me like 5 years ago, what's going to be your next thing? I never ever thought that wing foiling would come along. And then boom, I've seen it and I was like hooked to it. And
yeah,
just what's definitely going to be for sure is that if there's something new coming up, I'm definitely not going to close my eyes. I will give it a go and make my thoughts afterwards and not just sit around at the beach and tell another stupid sport, blah blah blah. Gonna stick to fin surfing. Just be open-minded and see what comes.
You heard it, folks. Yeah. So we're going to have to love all sports. And okay, so Peter Vav here, how do I stop breaching when I go very fast? Or is it something that he should practice to get used to?
No, that's a very good point. Breaching can be learned. And that right now I'm practicing on my dark side. So behind my shoulder, breaching the foil. And if you do this, I would not breach at higher speeds first. I would breach at low speed and look at your wingtip, how your wingtip slowly starts getting in, like out of the water surface and slowly getting back into it as well. And if you keep doing this for ages, you will be like in an uncomfortable position where your board wiggles around or like your breach is out of the water. You will be safe, or let's say in control. And breaching foil tips is a big thing. Most of the foils these days can breach without any problem if they're not having like winglets pointing down. So you should practice it. And at higher speeds, it's a crazy thing. Some of the foils, if they have rake and the foil breaches, they cut back into the water and then your nose gets cut up, like your nose points into the water and you cut the bullet over. But definitely, if you know what to expect and what's going to happen, it can save your ass. So learn to breach is a big thing. And you should do it not just on your front side, also on your back side. So that you breach. And even in a flat water session, like 2 days ago, I was actually doing a lot of breaching, practicing with my friend on the sup in 8 knots of wind on the flat lake. We were like cruising, edging the board,
trying
to get the wingtips out of the water and keep riding like this, you know. So you can do it on any foil. And then cool thing is also like just doing these carves, and like if you hold your wing, you're quite safe. You can put not too much pressure on the board. And I also realized not pushing it straight, like all to the edge and straight off the edge instead of like just getting it smooth up, smooth down. It's a cool thing. And then next thing is breaching a 360. Yeah, next thing is breaching a 360, doing a carving upwind breach, carving downwind breach. That's cool stuff.
Yeah, actually, like an upwind 360 like that. That would be sweet.
Yeah.
Around the world kind
and
of
you
thing.
Can carve them quite radical. And if someone is asking me to try a frontside 360 in the air, I'm telling him, first you breach a radical carving 360, and then you're gonna do the same, but with a little hop, and then you have it basically. So you can learn the wing control. Yeah, but breaching, yeah, it's important. And I think most of the people, they think it's not meant to happen. It should stick in the water, but it's not. It's always by mistake something's happening. It's just gonna pull you off the board if you're not aware of.
And what do you prefer? High aspect, low aspect, mid aspect?
Mid aspect sounds good because it's just like, I don't like the radical parts. Because there's always a compromise. You cannot build a Formula One car that can go off-road. Mm, so okay. It's the mid aspect, in my opinion, seems to be working very fine because they like the golden middle. But definitely, like, the latest dream is to have a high aspect that serves like a low aspect. But this is
not gonna happen or exist.
But the latest foils, they're going into this direction that you have like the glide of high aspect. You can breach without problem, so you can surf it like a smaller foil. But I think foils are as individual as persons, so each person gonna need his own foil in a certain way.
Fair enough.
Let's see.
Fair enough. And I think our last question of the day: what is your favorite setup?
Oh. In which sport?
Boogieboarding.
No, my favorite setup.
In all four. We want to know windsurfing, downwind paddling, kiting. And then we're going to bring all the sports together under one roof today.
And then skateboarding
and winging.
Skateboarding, wing skating. No, at the moment, in windsurfing, it's easy to answer. I'm supported by Suvern. I love the Suvern equipment for the Revolution from Australia. I love the 3-3 Freak, which is a freestyle sail. And as it's a freestyle sail in a smaller size, it kind of breathes really nice, and it's not so rigid and direct like other storm sails. So that sail has something magic. And then I'm matching it with a freestyle board, the Psycho, which is really good for freestyling in stronger winds as well, because it's like a small skateboard. And these days with these like double, triple rotations, the only thing limiting us is basically just up here. Like, because if we would boost the way we're boosting a Kulo, which is like this rodeo spin in flat water. If you take off the same way on a 2-meter wave, you probably would do like 4 or 5 or infinity rotations in the air. So I'm curious what's yet to come in windsurfing, but definitely foiling killed it a bit, the freestyle windsurf part. Yep. But going towards foiling now, which is also the reason why in Switzerland you have a handful of big days, windsurfing big days with a fin. On the foil, it can be on the water definitely every second day. So foiling is a game changer. And windsurf foiling, I'm working with the foils. I'm working together with Subfoil from Italy, which is really cool because it's a close-by factory producing really quality foils, carbon foils in Europe. And we have the chance to also locally here produce prototypes. Within 1 week, we can do a new front wing. If needed. And we're doing also, like, we're prototyping a lot, which is really nice. And in windsurf foiling, I do need a longer fuselage compared to winging, which obviously needs to, like, the pivot stability needs to be better because of the sail pushing down, as we have like these three pressure points pointing down. So windsurf foiling, my favorite gear at the moment. It's the same foil like in winging, the Medusa Pro, and it's quite a big foil. It's a mid aspect, high aspect foil, 850. So it has 860 span, 870 span. This foil is my one-to-go foil for windsurf foiling and for wing foiling. The only difference is that I use a 65 fuselage for winging, so a very short fuselage, and then the longer 90 cm fuselage for windsurf foiling. And then the mast length, if we keep stick to the foil, the mast length, I'm at 83 at the moment, which is like a magic number for me. It's easy to fly through the chop. It doesn't create too much leverage in the rotations, too much G forces pushing me around. But definitely, I mean, for free riding, you probably could be on a longer mast. And for surfing, like the direct feel, you could might be on a shorter mast. But 85, 83, that's my magic number at the moment. And then WS, which gives a lot of room to play forward and backwards with the foil position. Because if you're, I often see people struggling with their foil setup. Mm-hmm. And what's really frustrating is if someone stands on his board and he's really like putting all the pressure on the back of his board and he's barely flying, then I mean, I can see that he's struggling. So the way I ride my setup is always like the foil or the front wing quite far forward. So there's a lot of leverage from the foil in the front, so a lot of pressure on the front foot. And often I'm also not using the back foot in my strap.
Okay.
Because I could, the way my setup is set, if I'm in my back strap, I'm totally overloaded on the foil to generate extra pop or early lift while getting going, while pumping up on the foil. But mainly I'm riding just in my front strap, the back foot quite far forward, with a lot of front foot pressure on the foil. So the feel is that my board wants to go up.
Okay,
that gives me that extra low end. And then like the latest foils, they also pull down at higher speed, so that you need to step in the back and like keep it up. No, but we could talk for hours about setup and gear. You guys realize it?
Yes.
But if I share one more, like my board is 57 liter, which is small, kinda, and it's useless to have a too small board because you just struggle get going again, and you in the end you just limit yourself and you're just floating on that board, and you once in the air you're not trying anything anymore. So
that's true.
If you're learning something, it's always better to have. It helps just to have more volume, and it gives you more attempts. The same with the foil.
Good to know.
So that's why I have a board which is kind of floats and gets me going quite easy, and still is compact enough to go overhead and spin quadruple rotations.
Quintuple. I think you're going to get a quintuple this year, a five. Yeah.
Yeah. And then on the wing side, I prefer riding a smaller wing because the smaller wing gets me going easier in terms of my active pumping technique, because the bigger wing just creates more drag and has it just needs more work. So I prefer being on a four underpowered. Once in the year, I'm powered up, but being underpowered on a four than being on a 6 meter and trying to get going and having this hard time to get going.
Well, my friend, thanks for answering all these questions for us. And hey, everybody, thanks for submitting them.
Well, looking forward to ride with you guys.
Oh, yeah. All right. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Yippa!